should just quit being assholes, or something like that.
Give peace a chance, Nigel repeated. Just give it a chance, you wankers,
he shouted down the mountain. The three remaining assailants, the men who'd just abandoned their evident intention to attack again, were members of an armed raiding group, a group which had once been quite a bit larger than it was now. Phillips' team had successfully thinned the attacking herd, and the three survivors wisely performed a quick cost-benefit analysis and determined that the cache of guns and ammo they'd heard about, that they were trying to steal, would be useless to them if they were all dead, and most of them were now. Some loose talk had gotten these folks killed. Rumors from somewhere that Joffrey Byrd kept guns, lots of guns, and ammo in his mountain lodge. Guns and ammo, the currency of the post-apocalypse. Most brigands were seeking arms and bullets, because with them, you could get other needed things. In each of the three previous assaults by the gang, the four men defending Joffrey's home had been able to repel the attack without taking any losses. Now, Philip was convinced the bandits wouldn't try again, but you never know what men will do when they're hungry, frantic, covetous, or just plain crazy. 5 weeks after the collapse, things were starting to settle into a routine on Jeffrey's mountaintop, but the threat of an assault always loomed. It could happen at any time. For that reason, Philip didn't allow anyone to get complacent or lazy. The four companions were in a good location to hold fast against attacks. Prior to the end of the world, Joffrey Byrd, he didn't care how you pronounced it, but the G was supposed to be a hard one, was a successful artist selling his paintings and sculptures for exorbitant prices to flatland tourists and Hollywood types in Taos and Santa Fe galleries. Things had been going so well for him and for so long that he'd been able to afford the most remote home and studio he could find. He was no longer a struggling artist. People came from all over the world to buy his work, and that fact translated into some pretty substantial creature comforts. A single road ran through the gap between Angel Fire and Taos, and access was difficult, even by vehicle, for much of the year. In the winter, all travel was sketchy at best. The Bird Studio was a mile up a private road, set on a high ridge and backed up to the edge of a sheer cliff, with a drop of over 200 feet to a rocky valley below. The buildings in the little homestead couldn't be approached from the rear or the side. The only way to get up to the studio was from the front. This made the site defendable, but, and this was the only problem, if anyone ever did succeed in reaching the place, there was nowhere to hide and no escape route. Thus far, however, the four men had managed a very successful defense, and there were a lot of bodies down at the bottom of that road to prove it. Weeks ago, before this most recent spat of attacks, there had been other unsuccessful attempts to rush the place using vehicles. Since then, all had been quiet, a peaceful lull during which Philip took care not to allow his friends to descend into complacency, until just days ago, when this latest criminal gang had attempted their own operation. That attack, like those before it, had gone poorly for the attackers. The earliest incursions were thwarted thanks to carefully placed directional claymores, crafted from common chemicals found in the studio of any artist, especially one who worked in sculpture, as Joffrey did. Bomb efficiency and yield had been boosted with the addition of ample amounts of saltpeter that Philip and his friends distilled from their own urine. Philip and his friends had gone to great lengths to identify forces as friend or foe, but that usually wasn't hard. Smart friends walked slowly, waved a flag, or kept their hands up and showed that they meant no harm. The other kinds weren't usually so smart. They approached in various attack formations, tried to bum-rush the place, or sent armed scouts using obvious offensive tactics. But Philip and the boys, thus far, had always been on top of it all. There was another important factor to their successes. Three of the four men were highly trained former military specialists. Philip's best friend and fellow Texan, Rob Foss, had, like himself, received extensive special forces training early in his military career, before moving into Army Intelligence. Nigel Kerr was an ex-SAS officer who'd fought alongside both Rob and Philip in Afghanistan. All three had left the military after becoming disillusioned for many of the same reasons, and they were all now happy to be civilians. Ostensibly, the three friends were on vacation in the mountains of New Mexico when the proverbial